Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1166 for March the 8th, 2022. My name is Denny Sunderly, and I'm coming to you along with my dear friends here from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. Listen, Fiasco and Rhino have returned from a galaxy far, far away, and we get to talk to them about their journeys today. Can't wait to hear what they think about it and whether or not, whether you're wanting a spoiler-free review or a spoiler-filled review, you are going to find what you're looking for in this episode. This episode is indeed the one you're looking for. So, welcome. So pull up a chair, grab something Star Wars-esque to throw on and a funky space-themed drink, and off we're off and running. So here I am joined here in the studio around the table by my dear friends, associate producer Corey Fiascanaro.
Ignite the spark.
Associate producer Rhino Clevin.
Let me get that hot dog.
And executive producer Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
Yay. Again, my name's Denny Sunderly. I'm filling in for Pete Werner. And we're so glad that you have chosen to join us for this hour of conversation that I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. So
I'm glad to be here. We're glad that you're here. If you enjoy this episode, please be sure to give it a thumbs up. Hit that like button. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and do so now. That would be just fantastic. And just remember that this episode, like all shows here on the Diz Unplugged channel, is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation, whether it's at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, in Hawaii, or a voyage aboard the Halcyon, the Dreams Unlimited experts can help you with that. So reach out to them today at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. We are going to get some housekeeping. We have some housekeeping. We're going to get it out of the way as quickly as possible at the beginning so that we can jump into what will initially be a spoiler-free little mini review. Just a little conversation with Fiasco and Rhino, and then we're going to jump into all the spoilers. But we'll give you fair warning before we do so, that's for sure. But first things first, Craig, do you have any housekeeping, or do you want me to jump on in?
Yes, I'll go with mine first. Okay. I just wanted to let everyone know that we will have a special guest joining us for the Patreon after show today that happens directly after our Walt Disney World news show live discussion happens. So this week Pete's going to be joining us for at least a little bit from Alani. So if you are not a Patreon supporter yet, you know, sign up and then you'll get a little Pete time today on our Patreon after show.
Pete in Hawaii. So we'll see.
The biggest thing to happen to Hawaii since the Bradys.
There it is. Oh, I love those episodes in Hawaii. That was so good. All right. Thank you,
Craig. I like
how
she said episodes and not the second movie.
Yeah. Well, this is true. This is true.
Just kidding.
Any housekeeping here at the table before I launch into DizCon details, fun stuff like that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay, perfect. So if you are looking forward to DizCon in the fall, I have more details that I can share with you now, and I'm super excited to be able to do so. If you came to Diz Family Reunion or you remember us talking about it last year, DizCon is Diz Family Reunion 2.0. So it has been rebranded, and it is going to be bigger and better than last year. Last year was amazing. This is going to be even more so. So we're going to be at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort September 30th and October 1st. That is only 2 days. But let me explain as to why. So we are going to pack in to those 2 days a ton of all the good convention stuff that you want. If you want Tony Baxter, you're going to get Tony Baxter. He'll be there. And in fact, Tony is going to be doing a different panel than he did last year because this event is going to happen during Epcot's 40th. Tony is going to do an Epcot-centric panel, and I absolutely can't wait. If you're looking for me during that panel, that's where I'll be. I'll be in the back row taking notes from Mr. Baxter. We are also going to have an Aladdin 30th anniversary panel, Bear in the Big Blue House, reunion panel, and so, so, so much more. Lots of Disney celebrities, the whole nine yards. You are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be so good. So that we hope to be able to have tickets on sale. Stephen is really hoping to do this. Stephen Amos over at Give Kids the World is hoping to have tickets on sale very, very soon. So believe you me, when those tickets are on sale, we are going to blast it all over social. There'll be an article that goes out on the site. We'll make sure. We'll make sure y'all know. But I do have pricing. And something really great to keep in mind is that prices have been held lower. If I remember correctly, Steve and I were talking as I was driving on my way over here. So lower than last year. There are VIP tickets available, which do include a lot of VIP, very special, very, very special experiences. But the first day's ticket is going to be $49.99. That's your Friday convention pass. Your Saturday convention pass is going to be $59.99, and you can buy a 2-day convention pass for $99.99. That'll include everything from Friday and Saturday. The VIP pass will be $749.99. You get special admission to all programming on both Friday and Saturday, reserved seating near the front, a breakfast buffet with select talent. So you'll get to wine and dine with special friends. You'll get access to a great VIP lounge and admission to the After Hours event on October 1st. And friends, let me just tell you, this After Hours event on October 1st, I'm so excited about it. So if you are looking forward to, if you like After Hours in the Disney parks, this event is going to be something that you'll want to try to scribble down on your calendar. So it will be on October 1st, 2022, which is actually Epcot's 40th anniversary. We get to be in Epcot from 10:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. The tickets will be $199.99. And here's what we're going to get for that ticket price. We are going to be able to ride Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. We're going to have exclusive entertainment in the UK, Japan, Morocco, and France pavilions. We will have special character meet and greets in those pavilions that we'll be able to take part in, and we'll have exclusive desserts happening. So that's it. Those are the details that we have right now. Obviously, there are things being added, like Stephen was telling me, people are being added like crazy to the event. And so it's only going to grow and get bigger from here. So as soon as the tickets are available to be purchased, we'll let you know. As soon as the official event website is up and running, we'll let you know. But something to keep in mind that Stephen pointed out earlier is that $80 of each ticket price is a donation to Give Kids the World Village. And it is that $80 is tax deductible. So it's great to keep in mind that all profits go to help the village, which really is the largest wish granting organization here in Central Florida. These are kids who it's their dream. It's their wish to come and have a little Disney magic. And we, by coming to DisCon and by buying tickets to this event, we get to help support that amazing work that's being done. So that was a lot. Thank you for hanging with me during all those details. If you have any questions, Stephen Amos is in live chat right now. So if you're watching via YouTube, drop a little question in the chat room for him. He'll get you some answers. If you have questions, if you're listening or if you're watching this back later, drop them in comments or send us a little message, an email if you're listening, and we'll get those answers to you. But super excited, very much looking forward to it. Podcast Cruise is coming up. It'll be May the 16th through the 20th on the Disney Dream. I know there was a big announcement last week that Miss Jodi Benson will be along for the ride with us. So that's super exciting. If you are a fan of hers, you will get to hear her sing, as well as her daughter and her husband. So that's pretty cool stuff. I think that's it. Oh, one last thing. One last thing. If you like Magic Candle Company, by all means, please take advantage of our discount code, which isn't even a discount code now. Now it is a buy two, get one free code. So at checkout, if you go to magiccandlecompany.com, you put things in your cart, you put in the discount code Disney Info, that'll allow you to do buy two, get one free. So if you have gifts, things like that, that are coming up later in the year, now is your time to go ahead and get all those gifts while the getting is really good. I'm out. That's it. Anything else housekeeping wise before we start talking about the Halcyon?
Not here.
All right. Okay, perfect. So moving on to our conversation with Rhino and Fiasco, and they've been on a journey, and to catch you up, just in case, because we know not everyone watches every episode. Number one, Craig and Kylie and I got to go on the media voyage, which was a great opportunity to be able to do. But as per Diz policy, we will not review it. We'll talk about it, but we're not going to review it and tell you what we liked and what we didn't like, things like that, because we didn't pay for it. That is...
But you could say you had fun.
Yes.
Stuff, right?
Well, I don't know. Can we, Craig?
I feel like our energy in the way we talk about stuff can help to paint a picture, but I have not explicably said whether or not I had fun. I did say I would do it again at a certain price point, and I stand by that. I don't think there has been a day that has gone by since last week's show that I have not texted back and forth with other people trying to get a future Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser voyage planned.
Okay.
So it is. I know it's a bit different when I truly put my money where my mouth is, but I have been actively trying to get one planned and figure out the best and most affordable way to actually do it. So hopefully in a couple weeks from now, I'll at least have like a glimmer of hope that I'll be able to have an official stay that I actually paid for.
That would be great. Yeah. So while Craig and I cannot talk about our review, all the experiences that we had during the media voyage, Mr. Rhino and Mr. Fiasco went, and it was paid for by Dreams Unlimited Travel. So paid for by the company, and therefore they can share their thoughts and details. But we're going to enter into the spoiler free. Yes. Conversation to begin with. And then, like I said, we'll give you fair warning when it's time to get all spoilery. Thoughts? What are your initial spoiler-free thoughts?
So right off the bat, I went into this experience in the camp of the prices are crazy. I don't know how this possibly could be justified to leaving with a completely different mindset that the price – I would be willing to go back and pay it if I fell in a certain category. And that category is the full-on role-playing LARPer.
Okay.
Just spoiler-free from my experience with other guests on board the Star Cruiser and interacting with them and seeing how they were going along with the show, they basically became part of the crew. Mm-hmm. And it looked so much fun. And in many of the different events that were happening, I would see these people and I would question, are they actually part of the crew? Like, they're so into their character. And then I'd talk to them in different areas of the ship and they would have stories. They'd have their name. They'd have what their home planet was, what other like adventures and things they've gotten up to. And their character was so fleshed out. It was like a character straight out of Star Wars. And I went in this being like, I'm dressing up as Obi-Wan Kenobi,
yes.
which
is fair.
It's fine to do too. But if I was to recommend to somebody doing this experience what they should do, don't dress up as an already created character. Make your own character, create your own story, and you're going to get so much out of this. Because everybody I saw doing that, they were having the literal best time ever, and I want to do that one day.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to ramble on about this
more. No, fine. You're fine. What are your initial spoiler-free thoughts, Rhino?
I 100% believe agree with Craig. I would do this again, and I actually potentially just have another trip booked with a friend this morning. I wouldn't pay. I'm I'm actually really tired about people being like, $6,000? And I want to be like, I don't know if it's even that much if you booked a room by yourself. Because I saw there were prices where it was like, for two people, it's $4,800. Yep. For one person, I don't know where $6,000 came from. And I don't, I'm sorry that I don't feel bad if you have to pay for your wife and two children. Like, that's the financial burden you choose when you get in a relationship like that. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I want to be like, the experience I can attest to in life is that I split everything where with whoever I go with, unless, you know, it's a gift or a celebration or something like that. So I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I would say that if you get a room and you split it with four friends and you get that price under $2,000, I think it's 100% worth it. And our friend Allie here, she sent me a message online where she was saying, you know, people pay $100 for a 2.5 hour play.
Yeah.
You know, or more if you're going on Broadway and stuff like that. That's $40 an hour. The experience is 45 hours. That's $1,800. So that's no food or whatever like that. So that's a big part of it, because you are literally like immersed in this thing for like the entire day. I am telling you, I did not go to bed until 4 a.m. both of the days. So I definitely suffering by exhaustion by the end, because I could feel it, my body shutting down. But like that was work related more than anything else. But I 100% think that this experience is absolutely worth doing. Yes, if you are somebody who's going to have to pay for the entire room, then I guess you are swallowing that price tag. But you know, I don't know that this experience is going to be for everybody. I think that's what you need to ask yourself. It's not a hotel. It is a literal experience. So you have to think about it more as like you're doing an attraction for 45 hours. Don't think about it in terms of being like, oh, I'm going to stay somewhere. Like, yes, you're going to sleep. Yes, you're going to eat. Yes, you're going to do those things. But you need to think about it more as an attraction in a park that you have to pay for. And it is that much money. And I think that's where like people aren't wrapping their heads around that maybe as much. But I think every single person I came in contact with, cast member, the actors, the cast members, anybody that was on the ship was the most pleasant human being I have ever dealt with. Like, it is Disney service like I have never seen before in my life. Like, to me, this experience is the definition of what people think of Disney as, I think. The food was incredible. The people were incredible. I thought the story was great. The actual experience, I really don't have many negative things to say. I mean, I guess we'd get into it when we get more in depth, but I loved every second. I think it could be a couple hours longer. Yes, because I feel like it is a little bit rushed at some parts where you just can't stop. And sometimes it's like you do want to, because again, if you're really committing and you're dressed up and doing all that stuff, I don't know how used to you are running around in costume all day. You know what I mean? Like, and so there's little things like that, but,
Well, there's also lots of different levels of commitment.
Yeah.
You know, there's the level of I'm going to dress up and actually play along with the story. And that's one level, but Denny, I know you probably remember them from our media voyage that we took. There was two people on there that got proposed that got engaged, and there was a big proposal in the atrium. And I didn't, like, in the moment, I didn't think anything of it. But after the fact, someone went up and said congratulations, and the person just kind of sounded like, yeah, thanks. And it was all very strange. And then as talking to friends afterwards, apparently that was part of their story that they came up with. And I don't know the truth of this. They're better researchers, so I'm like sending them out to find out more details on it. But apparently part of their story was that was they were, you know, on their big vacation where they wanted to get engaged and take that next step. And so, like, when we say you can literally build your story, as imaginative as you are, that's how much you can build a story around it, or you can just do absolutely nothing. But it's whatever you want to make it.
I have to say too that the atmosphere that's created by the people that were there. I know we were on the inaugural voyage, so usually that, you know, that's like a day one festival party thing. Those are usually the people that are really into it. But it was kind of crazy because it was like the guests were all like good versions of guests, if you know what I mean. Like, that's so the day when you go to bed too, that almost seemed jarring to me to be back in the thralls of like regular day guests. And you're like, oh, like regular people that are just, a lot of them are awful. But like, I met people who watched the show though, and they were so nice. And I love chatting with them. I'm standing in a Star Wars costume and people kept coming up and asking me to take their picture over and over again. And I was like, gosh. I don't work here. Like, I understand that I have a camera. I understand that I look like I work in this land, but I'm like, I promise you, I'm not a cast member. I'm sorry. Like, but no, there's just something where it like, I think even if you are somebody who's like hesitant about it, like you will get drawn into it. I think, you know, and I think I know I've seen a lot of people talking about like introverts being kind of like it being a nightmare for them. Like you don't really have to be one-on-one with the character if you don't want. You can avoid them. Like that's not a thing, but you will feel like a part of a group for sure in some way. Like it's crazy how like, you know, no, this is not really a spoiler, but you end up on some missions sometimes where it'll only be you and like six people.
Yeah.
And you have to do like a special thing and you're like, oh my God, I don't even know these people, but I'm like having a blast right now. Yes. Like, yeah. This is so cool. And, you know, so, cause I am somebody, I know the person you see here and whatever. I am a very shy person in real life. I just have decided to just swallow it and I will lose sleep for the rest of my life thinking about every second of my day end of the night. But like it does make me nervous. So I would rather somebody come up and talk to me than me go up to somebody and talk to them. And so I don't know. I think I'd rather do something like this than have, I think that this is like an experience versus having like, I don't know. You know, the whole thing right now, there was just a commercial I saw with Ewan McGregor, ironically, where he's talking about, in the end, are you going to regret not buying this thing or are you going to regret not going to the places you wanted to go? And yeah. I'm kind of like, yeah, I think this is one of those situations where it's like, I think if you want to partake, I think you got to partake. Mm. So, but okay. I don't know.
So spoiler free, what would you recommend that people who are planning a journey aboard the Halcyon keep in mind, remember, yes, bring with them, whatever? What's your biggest piece of advice?
Ziploc bags.
For that okay. Food.
Yeah, there you go. The food bags. Is so good. The food really was so good. Yeah. And Rhino, you mentioned that you wish it was a little bit longer. And I actually thought about that. I thought about the length that it was. I feel like almost everybody's reaction I caught was, oh, I wish I had more time on there. Maybe I want to go back. And I feel like it was engineered to the length that it was specifically for that reason. And we'll get more into this later on. But without any spoilers, how you choose to interact during the voyage matters a ton. In fact, how one person interacts, they might have an entirely different story and they might see things unfold entirely differently than another person and how they reacted, depending on how you talk to the characters, depending on who you want to align yourself with, if anyone. And, from me doing the experience once, I went one certain way. So I got to see how one certain story kind of unfolded for that side. But there's other sides I could go back and do. I could go back and have an entirely different thing unfold in front of me. And again, we'll talk more about this in the spoiler territory, but you find out some really cool stuff way before the rest of the crew, depending on what story you play. So I would talk to your travel party beforehand and be like, all right, so we could go a couple of different ways with this. Do we want to be, you know, the good, the bad, or the ugly kind of thing, yeah, you know?
Well, and I mentioned that in an article that went up that I wrote. It went up last week. Is the story begins before you even get to the Halcyon. Like, just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
That you can log in if you've got a reservation on the books, you can log in to the DataPad functionality in the Play Disney Parks app, and you can begin to kind of wrap your brain around this. And the more that you do that, the better you'll be as far as equipped to embrace the story, because literally from the word go,
yes,
you have stepped into a story.
Yep.
And and it's kind of like choose your own adventure from there.
There where you said that. I will not say this enough, but do not record your experience. Just enjoy it. I really feel like having the camera. I understand it's my job and that I have to do it, but it was like I couldn't really – the characters – they kind of want to go to people that are going to engage with them. And I have a camera up in my face. And like one of the characters even said something to me about it at one point. Like he was just kind of like, you should probably put this down and enjoy yourself at some point. And I was like, I can't, and when he saw me without the camera at one time, he was like, oh, he put the camera down. And then later in that evening, I was filming the, Owani, and he saw me again and was like, he's back at it again. And I was just like, yeah, man.
Dude,
I got
a gig.
Yeah,
here.
I know. I was like, that's why I'm here, unfortunately. And so, like, I think watching it through a lens is a huge mistake. I think this is really one of those moments where I beg you, like, just take take your photos as you go with, like, your cell phone or whatever or anything like that or a tiny camera or something like that. But, like, don't waste the experience looking through a lens. I would say that was my biggest takeaway, where it was like, it kind of made me sad at some parts. Cause I was like, God, I wish I was more invested and I saw more. I wish I would have been able to like go and see more of the characters and stuff like that. But it was like, so it's like, don't add that level of stress and just like, you know, really commit yourself. That's all.
The other thing I was thinking is, I would recommend arrive early. Not as early as me. I am obnoxiously early to everything if I can help it, because it relieves anxiety knowing I'm where I need to be.
Sure.
But I got there at 11:30. So that's way earlier.
What did they say to you when you rolled in there at 11:30?
So there was actually two parties in front of me already. There was full LARPing gear, full outfit, full attire. But because I got there as early as I did, right when the doors opened at 1, I got to be in that first pod up. And immediately I got to go in, take pictures of an empty atrium, and go straight to lunch. So I mean, there were people, if you got there around like 12:50 to right at 1 when they were letting people up, you might miss 20, 30, 40 minutes of your initial experience because you're going to be in one of the last pods to actually go up. And I mean, when you really break it down, what you're spending your money for and the time that you have there, you want to make the most out of it. So just get there early, hang out, stand around. They're going to put you in a queue, and then the queue's going to kind of zigzag along that wall that everyone takes their selfies in front of, like where it says Star Cruiser. Get there early and waste the time there. Don't waste the time waiting for a pod when everybody else is already getting up and enjoying it, you know?
Okay. That's good advice. Anything else that you want to throw in before we say, all right, the spoiler blockade is done?
I know you said it already about the data pads, because somebody just brought it up in chat, and it did throw me for a little bit of a loop, too, because they give you a data pad when you go there. I know it was weird to be like, wow, which phone is my phone? I kept pulling out the wrong phone. But an important thing they say, too, is to log out of your personal Play Disney Parks thing, and it will load in the phone. I liked that they gave it. I hope they continue to give out personal data pads, because one, it was like a brand new phone. The battery lasted like forever, and it was way lighter than my phone. So I don't know what phone they gave us, but it was definitely better. I know it was a weird thing, but I was like, after a while, you're like, oh, it's a piece of the equipment. It's like part of your story. So you're like, you know.
No. Sure. So I believe the official stance still as of right now is that the long-term plans of the extra data pad they give you will eventually go away. But right now, the version that is working perfectly on the data pads they give you isn't accessible for you to download on your personal phone.
Yeah.
Specifically, right. I believe with the Galaxy's Edge portion is where there's issues. And thinking back onto it, that's when I tried to use mine and I was having a lot of issues
issues with my data pad they gave me on the planet as well.
Oh.
And I talked to somebody who did the cruise right after me, and something similar was happening to them where my data pad kept like resetting when I was on the planet, and it would say I would go to where I was supposed to be, but it wouldn't register that I was there. So I had to keep like walking in a circle to get it to like register. And then it's not like my phone, so I'm not familiar with like the settings and everything. Cause they're like, oh, make sure the face ID. And I'm like, I don't know where it says face ID. I don't know how to do this. So, but if you do have any trouble with it, they do an orientation with the data pad on that first day. And don't be afraid to talk to somebody. I can't wait to talk about the Batuu experience though, because I do have a lot to say about that.
And long story short with all of that, it if you want to use their data pads, they will always make sure, according to them, as of right now, they will make sure that you are able to borrow them.
Oh, perfect.
If they ever Yay. Take them away, if you don't have a smartphone, mm-hmm. if you don't have, you know, if anything, for any reason you need to use it, they will make sure it's available for you.
Now, I just want to echo, use the data pad that they give you or have given you, because I was kind of going back and forth on the second day between the app on my phone and then the data pad they gave me, and I missed... Craig, you and Kylie got an invite to a mission stemming from what was accomplished on Batu. And so you all got back on the ship and said, oh, I got to go do an XYZ. And I went, oh, mine doesn't say that. And it was sad. And it later caught up, but I believe it was because I was using the app on my phone rather than using it on the data pad. So yes, definitely. I echo that. All right. Any last words?
No, let's get, if you decide that you want to listen to all spoiler review, there's a video coming out that I'm editing. Well, there's one tomorrow that's going to come out that is like the entirety of day one. It is very long. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. And then there'll be a part two that'll be the rest of the journey that will probably end up being longer than that too. But that is kind of like, I just wanted to document it kind of from like beginning and just walk people through the entire experience. So just stay tuned to that. It's going to be on this channel, on the Diz Unplugged channel. So just get ready for that. Excellent. Get ready for that. And I am sorry, I shake like I'm on a cruise ship the whole time. So
is it back and forth? You don't have your sea legs? Is
up that and down. My back is not doing so good. Okay. So it's like I haven't used a zoom lens in a long time, and I was like, good Lord, this is a boulder. Like it doesn't feel heavy when you start, but about 7 minutes in, you're just like, like shaking and sweating. The guy came up to me and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm all right.
I told Rhino when I was warning him about it, I was using like a grip to hold the camera on the first night for, I think, the muster. And my hand locked up, and I was terrified that I wouldn't be able to open it back up.
Oh, no.
It was just like stuck in a claw, and it was terrifying. So
is it Chandler on Friends who had that happen after he was playing the video game?
Oh, yeah. He's like, ha-ha! And he's got the claw. And he's like,
I believe it's a sign of getting old. And so now I'm like, am I developing arthritis at 35?
Well, it's funny because after doing the camera, when I was doing the Sublight Lounge video, I was like, why does my whole arm hurt from here? And I was literally like, oh no, I think I'm getting carpal tunnel, like, because like using the pen and everything like that hurts too. And I'm like, I don't know.
I'm sure it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, so, but in space there is no pain, so I just I went with it.
Suck it up, man. Keep on going. Okay,
back the tank.
In the back the tank. He needs some time in the back to tank. All right, so spoilers. So this is your warning. I'm going to wave my hands. This is you. All right. So we are about to talk about all things spoilers. If you don't want spoilers for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, we bid you a fond farewell.
Get out.
A good journey. And thank you for watching. And now we're going to get down to the good details. Yeah. So spill it. Spill the beans. Spill the tea.
Yeah, again, I know we only have a certain amount of time to talk about it on this show. So if you have further questions after this and after watching those other videos, just put them in the comments of the videos, and we will all try to circle back to answer those as best we can. Yep. So I know I really tried to make this very comprehensive and pop in and out to explain it throughout the video. So if you really want to get into the nitty gritty, we can do it on there. But I don't know where,
So very first.
You can talk about anything at this point. You can talk about.
No, but I don't know how to start. Like, okay.
So.
What was the best
thing? Yeah. Most surprising thing. What was your highlight of the entire 42 hours?
I was shocked at how much I liked the playing Sabacc on the.
Okay.
I thought, I'm not going to do this. It's whatever. The first thing I did when I got on the ship is, the girl. So you get on the ship and there's people that wait. They're like, oh, hello. And they come up to you and they walk you to your room and they explain everything because there is a droid that you can talk to that apparently might not always be there, but D3. And so you can you can talk to her. I will say, I definitely agree with Fiasco getting there early because it was a little bit. I have a complaint about, and you'll see it in the video, is that I don't think the ramp where you go to get in the Star Cruiser is where the entrance was intended to be, because you literally come in looking at the backside of the Galaxy's Edge, which as of right now has no trees, and you can see all of the mountains like on stilt and the thing. So if this is supposed to be this like fully immersive thing, but then on the day when we left, when you exit, you go like straight ahead away from it, which is the exit for Hollywood Studios. So it's really, that's like a back and forth. So I think you were originally supposed to come through the toll plaza of Hollywood Studios and then turn and go straight into the Star Cruiser Hotel, because they have that obelisk out front that's not facing the right way. Like, it looks like it's meant to be facing,
on the diagonal.
Yeah. Also, the cast members, my one negative experience is the cast members who were directing traffic. They were not very nice. And they directed me the wrong way because thought I worked there, I guess, again. And I was like, because everybody's turning into the hotel and they're like aggressively pointing and yelling for me to go this way. And I was like, I'm checking into the hotel. And they're like, oh, well, you should have said something. I'm like, I'm in my car. I was in line. What do you think I'm doing? And so I didn't show you a blue ID or anything. So, but the guy who was at security was great. I think he watches the show. I think his name was Michael. He was really good. Yeah. The people who check you in are really good. But if you are a solo traveler, I feel like it can be a little stressful, like anxiety ridden, because it's like everybody is clumped out front. And if you're one group, it's hard to kind of pin down somebody to check you in because they keep thinking you're part of another group.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, but they were very nice. My magic band was messed up. I guess they assigned Fiasco's profile to both bands or something like that, because he went in before I got there. And so when I went to tap in, my thing was blue, and they had to give me a new magic band, but they let me keep the one with my name on it too, keep. And so I didn't have any issues after that. So they were very nice, very accommodating, and the security people were great and everything. And but I forget why I started that. But the Sabacc table, I ended up playing multiple times, because I would go up at night to the Sublight Lounge. I mean, I had like one drink each night, but I had like great conversations with strangers around it. And it was such a weird thing that I actually ended up buying Sabacc while I was on the ship. Because I thought it was a lot of fun. It's like blackjack is what they compared it to. And I was like, where you have like a number and a symbol, and the idea is to get that number exactly. But then also you can win by having like the symbols connected to it. And so, that was a lot of fun. So I would say take time up there. I don't know. Food was amazing.
Okay.
I really want to talk about the story and some of the interactions leading up to the stories.
All right. So we'll put a pin in food and come right back. We'll come back to it after you get to say your initial things.
Sounds good. So basically, you have three different paths that you can take. You can be part of the Resistance, you can be a scoundrel, or you can be the First Order. Now, first, in the spoiler-free section, I mentioned that depending on how into your role you get, you can actually become like a character. And it's almost hard to be like, are you part of the actual show? Because some people will get so into it. And if you are one of those people, all the main characters of this story, the First Order, Lieutenant Croy, all of them, they basically have people. They have people on the Star Cruiser, guests like you and me, who they basically put so much trust they put so much trust in that they actually become part of what makes the show flow. For one example, I believe she was a scoundrel, most likely, because she seemed like she was part of Gaia's managers, people.
Okay.
And there was an event. It was a pre-dinner show it was pre-dinner for us. It would have been post-dinner for some others, but where we were, or he was smuggling the coaxium that they had gotten on Batuu away from the First Order. Mm-hmm. And what happened while Gaia was playing during this was this massive dance party. And you could tell that he had put faith in a certain few people to basically say, hey, when you see stuff going crazy, create a massive dance party around me so Lieutenant Croy doesn't know that I'm trying to escape with the Quaxium. And like that was like a scoundrel storyline thing. But also, depending on what storyline you take, you're going to get valuable information before that part of the story actually unfolds as to what's happening. So for the scoundrels, I believe there was something involved with them smuggling Chewbacca because I kind of snuck into their story for a little bit, okay. Which you can do if you can come along it. You're going to specifically get these missions in your data pad depending on what story you're going through. But if you catch it, you can kind of go along and see what's happening. So I was able to see that the scoundrels were smuggling Chewbacca. Now, for the resistance, there was something in the engineering room that we kind of had to re-kink some stuff that went wrong. And during that mission, if you're part of the resistance, that would have been the only way you were told to go there. You find out that Rey is on board well before that climactic event. I have no idea. I did nothing as far as the First Order is concerned. I played a good guy the whole time. But I'm assuming probably with the First Order, you probably got some sort of intel that, oh, Master Kylo Ren or something wants to come, or I'm not sure, but that's just what I assumed. But it was really cool. Like Rhino mentioned, I did do some character interaction. I wish I could do more. I was kind of one of Saja's people. Mm-hmm. I was kind of one of his call out persons when he was the lightsaber trainer guy. Okay. And I think it was because my name was so recognizable, because when he was asking everybody their names and to say something about themselves, and I was like, oh, my name's Fiasco, and I'm a Jedi. And I got kind of really into it there, so every time I saw Saja, the lightsaber master, around the ship, we would have that kind of interaction.
Nice.
I cannot recommend enough to really act like you're a part of this movie, because everybody is part of this story. Everybody's part of this Star Wars movie that's unfolding, but you can either kind of be an extra, which if I was an extra, I probably would be like, oh, I don't know if I would pay the price to do it again. You mm-hmm. could be like a supporting character. And some of these people were like main characters, mm-hmm. you know, at that end event, when Lieutenant Croy was like calling out his people, there was one person in a First Order uniform that was totally a guest, but he was like so convincing. Like I was like, that guy is another First Order soldier on yeah. the ship.
Well, go ahead.
I know you said you were dressed like a Jedi, but you did not follow the Jedi route, because I found out from my friend if you are on the Force sensitive pass, there is in the climate simulator room, I yes. saw an incredible video of they teach you how to use the Force, and they move rocks in that room. And then also there is an event where you get called back into the lightsaber room and they open the holocron, and apparently that's like one of the best things that happens on the experience. But I didn't see that. I was on the kind of smuggler's journey by accident, because Wraith kind of came up and interacted with me, and he's like the main smuggler guy, and so I ended up having coordinates that I had to deliver to like the Hondo Anaka transport solution, mm-hmm. so I had to go down to Batu to do this stuff. So it was so there's like a bunch of different types of routes that you can end up going to and stuff. Yeah,
there's so much going on. Really,
there is, and it's totally up to you how the level of commitment that yeah. you want to put in. And like you were saying, the different roles that the extent of the roles that you can play.
I think if you aren't committing to it, though, you're really not going to get the same mm-hmm. type of thing out of it. I know a lot of people are very concerned about using the phone the whole time, but it does become like, it's like how you text anybody. You're mm-hmm. just texting the character, and that's the thing. And they'll get a message, and they'll be like, hey, can you do me a favor? And you're like, oh, a favor? Or you'll just say, yeah, no question. Or you'll be like, no. I am allegiant to, whatever. And so it's like each conversation is a miniature choose your own adventure. And that yes. starts to warp you and guide you on that path and stuff. Well,
I have some questions that I've been pulling as it's yep. been going here. So since you brought up the characters, who was your favorite character?
I actually, even though I am not on the First Order, I think that Lieutenant Croy was – I thought the captain was – everybody was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I thought the captain was great. I thought Lieutenant Croy deserved some sort of award.
Yeah.
That guy, it was the same one that was in your video, if you've watched that video. And he was phenomenal.
Very committed.
He's very so committed. Good. Like at one point he said, he was like saying, it's the end of night one and he was saying something and it was like a lull right before he was about to say another thing, which he started saying, but somebody was like, I hope you sleep well. And he's like, oh, I will. Thank you.
Oh, my word.
You know, and I, it's just like, there was an annoying kid in the very beginning who was like just yelling while everyone was trying to listen to something. And he was like, this ship is loaded with resistance sympathizers, unruly children. And like, you know, so everyone laughed. And so it was like, that guy was like, I caught him in the hallway talking to a random guest where he'd be like, oh, I think I dropped something. Could you just go, you know, away from me up there? And they'd be like, what'd you drop? A spanner. And, you know, I wouldn't want someone to trip over it because then, you know, you'd be liable because I just told you it was there, you know, and it's like this whole thing. And it's like, it's crazy. And you never know, like, who's going to be around the corner. But I thought Croy was good. I have to tell you that I thought Gaia's singing was phenomenal. Yes. And every song she did, I was like, I want to listen to this again. So I'm hoping they do what they did with Galaxy's Edge and pump some more of that music into a streaming service.
One thing that, like, I'm really glad I recorded all the shows because I have been replaying a lot of the music and I can't get it out of my head in a good way because it was so good. The Bumba Bumba song, Bumba Bumba, hey, mm-hmm. I love that song. That's my jam now.
Very cool. I know we got a question in chat from Enchanted saying, were any of the actors different to the ones on the media voyage? And No,
but my friend was there on the next cruise, and I said, hey, can you send me pictures if you have a second of the people, because I'm just curious. And they weren't. They had a different Croy, a different Wraith, a Wraith that looks like Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But like long, flowy hair. And I was like, the complete opposite of the one we had. But but it was the same captain, because I caught a picture of the captain, too. And I was like, okay. So it's going to start mixing and mingling and who's going to be doing what. And
then, also, I don't believe you had Arsandro, just based on yours had the...
had the headdress.
Yeah. Whereas Arsandro did not.
He wasn't wearing the... he wasn't orange?
I was just... You know, he was orange. But he had like a slouchy hat. And so I was just wondering if that was the same Sandro and ours, the headdress just hadn't been added to his costume at that point.
Maybe.
You're right. And now I'm thinking back to your video. I completely forgot about that. But yeah. Well, that's crazy too, is because like you think you right away in the atrium, you think you've kind of got a lock where you're like, okay, Lenkamak, cruise director, you know, the captain, Wraith, and then the for sort of, but then you're like, oh, well, then Gaia's there. And then Owani, who is just... wish more than anything that we had gotten characters like her in Galaxy's Edge. Yes. Just a couple of them. And like, because she, like, you know, she's speaking Rhodian, but it's like her lips move and her ears twitch and thing. And like, I'm sorry, every time she laughed, it would just make me start laughing. And I'm like, I loved that so much. And then Sandro showed up too. And you're like, oh, this it's like populated. But then also the character, everybody's in dressed up. So you're like, God, this is what the genius here is, that Disney essentially just got us to all pay for now the characters in Galaxy's Edge, because there's things you could do as part of a guest on the hotel dressed up that you can't come to the park dressed up as a regular day guest. So I was like, that's interesting to me. But
Another one here. And I'm interested to hear this, because obviously Denny and I said over and over again that you can't do everything. It's not possible. We tried to do everything and you can't.
Yeah.
So as in your review of it, did you feel left out from anything? So you said you went on the Wraith side.
Yeah,
But what I meant, so like you went to Smuggler's Run, but like, is there anything on Galaxy's Edge you missed out on? Because if Fiasco was a Jedi but didn't do the story, then you probably didn't do the stuff on Batuu with the Jedi path either.
Right.
So did you feel left out from anything? Whether it's on the ship, on Batuu, wherever.
Well, I think it'd be interesting to talk about the experience of going from the ship to Batuu, because I think there are probably a lot of people that have that.
Please, because we obviously cannot review the transport pods. Denny and I cannot review the transport pods to Batuu.
I actually thought the transport pod was better than the elevator ride. I know the elevator ride has the view screens in it where you can see you're going into space, but like there's something about the driving of the truck where it like pulled out and moved and like was bumping around and the music, and I was like, oh, this is fun. It also The only thing I will say about it is that I feel like aesthetically, it feels more like an escape pod from the Millennium Falcon than it does from the Starliner. Does that make sense? Like it doesn't feel like, because there isn't a window into space or anything on the mm-hmm. thing, it feels a little more rebel resistance oriented, like an emergency thing, whereas it's supposed to be like a life or a transport, right?
That's something I hadn't connected. That's super astute. Just aesthetically speaking, they're so opposite one another. What you see aboard the Halcyon and then what you see in the transport. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. It was a little, I will say, you never, literally never see the truck. I know everyone's like, it's a box truck. And I was like, it is literally impossible to see it. It is a sealed hallway that goes into it. So when you go on Batuu, they give you a pin and you wear this pin and that's supposed to be how everybody registers who you are.
And I was wondering with the pin thing, like, how do they stop guests from just coming back with the pin on and being like, oh, I'm a Star Cruiser person?
So here's the thing about the pin. My button fell off like right away and I was like, oh God, I don't have a thing. So when I got on the planet, they gave me a metal backing to the pin, which was really nice. But, but yeah, it was, I don't know how they're really going to handle that because, I mean, you kind of have to be using your data pad for the missions on Batuu. So it's like, I think that'll probably be part of it. But, it was interesting because I don't feel like, from my experience personally on Batuu, it was hit or miss. The cast members that were there, and I feel bad saying this, I don't think all of them lived up to what I was experiencing on the crew. Like, I don't know if it's because we were the first ever Halcyon actually active live there, but like I went right to Smuggler's Run to do the job that Wraith had sent me on, and I walked right up to and I was like, I don't know, am I supposed to go in the lightning lane, like what? So I walked up to the cast member and I was like, I think I'm supposed to tell you that I have coordinates for you. And the guy was like, okay. Like he was not happy. I don't know what was going on with them in that moment, but he did not, he was just like, just scan your band and go in. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like nobody really acknowledged me the entire time on the Millennium Falcon or anything like that. Okay. And then Rise went down for me when I went over to go do that. And then my data pad was sort of acting up. So that I was wondering, like on Rise, are they going to start to say something? And, there was a First Order. Once you're taken prisoner by the First Order, one of them did come up and he was like, tell me, I hear Lieutenant Croy is on your ship. What's it like with him there? And I said, well, it's tense and it's very, unexpected. And he's like, yes, tell me about it. I used to work with him. And I like, so he was like, clearly like, I hate that guy. And that was the one like real interaction I had that was good there in the cashier at Docking Bay 7, because I went in and I had like a million questions because I was like, I've never had a dining credit loaded into my app before, because I was like, how do I mobile pay? How do I know what's included? Because it was like, I was having trouble looking to see where what was included. So I went in and he was like, he was so good. He was in full character. He was like, a quarter portion. And he was like, which includes, and I was like, so he was great. Like top notch and he was very helpful. And it included, an entree and, you could either do a drink, like an alcoholic drink if you wanted, or you could swap that out for a dessert if you don't drink. But I figured, I had the credit. I might as well try one of the drinks. So I tried the Sirlac, the Surly Sirlac, and it was good. It was really good. And I just got the food to go because I was like, well, I know I want to eat the food on the ship for the sake of this review. And so I put it in my box. And again, I had food when I got to my house the next day that I ate for like two or three days after. But yeah, so it's interesting because then I had another mission and it sent me to Oga's. And, at Oga's, they were like, you know, apparently you're supposed to get a coaster, and I did not get the coaster. I saw it. They held it out. They had me scan it, but then they put it back in their pocket. But when I got back on the ship, everybody on the ship was like, oh, yeah, they gave us the coaster. And I was like, what the? So I've got to go correct that situation. So because I collect those coasters, I seal them in like epoxy to make them like actual coasters. And so I'm like, I want that coaster.
What are you, the barkeep from The Shining? I had to correct them.
Oh, my God.
I forget what he says when he's cleaning it and he's sitting in it. talking to Jack, and he's like, but yeah, I am going to correct that situation.
I want to expand on what you're talking about with Batu and share my experience, because it was definitely a very unique one. I woke up on day two with a throbbing migraine, actually getting really, really sick. When I have days like that, I cannot go on rides, full stop, period. Doesn't matter what the ride is, but especially not Smuggler's Run. So I went up to a cast member and was like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, there's no way I can use my lightning lanes. What can you do for me? Mm. And they were like, what? Oh, yeah. What day do you want them to change for? I'm like, oh, let's do next Wednesday. Yep. Let me just call this person. Okay. All set. You should see it in your My Disney Experience app real soon. And you'll have those lightning lanes for next Wednesday. Really easy. So
that's great.
Just keep in mind, nobody can plan for that to happen. It just is something that kind of happens and you can't avoid it. But if for any reason somebody in your party isn't feeling great, they can definitely accommodate that and grab your pin.
Because, that's great to know.
You can still go get your pin.
So I know that you all have put out food review videos. So absolutely go check them out for sure on the Disney Dining Channel. Please do. But since we put a pin in food earlier, circling back around to it, what was the highlight for you? Just quick highlights.
I mean,
well, highlight, you can do highlights. Obviously, if there's anything negative, please also mention it too. So that way, because I, you know, even without me sitting here and reviewing it, I can tell you that there are things that I think were not really well thought out with it. And but beyond that, too, you didn't talk at all about the rooms, and everyone wants to know about
it. I was going to say the room thing. I mean, I just would start there because, like, I want to build one of the bunk beds in the berths or whatever they're called. So bad in my house. It was like, I felt like it was like a little sensory pod I could slip into, and just like, I will say I chose the top bunk because I'm like, when am I going to sleep on the top bunk? And the problem here is that I'm glad I brought one with me, but I had an extension cord, so I was able to plug it into the nightstand next to the bed and then wrap it around the thing on the top bunk to put my phone up there with me to charge stuff. So if you are an adult staying in there and you need to charge your devices, and you're somebody who likes to sleep with like music in or something like that, you're going to want to just bring an extension cord. That's all. But I will say, I sleep on an IKEA mattress that is like 2 years past its prime. Denny and I have talked about because I was complaining about how you can't rotate it. And so like for me, I was fine in the bed. I need like a really firm thing to like hold for my back sometimes. They're not really beds. They're like these tri-fold futon things. There's two on top of another, and they're in a bucket, essentially. So in terms of it being like, is this the most comfortable thing I've slept on? Like, no. And I can see it not being great for like some people, but I had no problem with it whatsoever. I wish they sold the sleeping bags because I really liked them aesthetically and everything. And I thought that it – I don't know. I really enjoyed the – bunk bed. Like I would demand a bunk bed if I were to go back. When I go back with friends, I'd be like, I am sleeping in the bunk bed. No questions asked.
Also,
there is space to put bags under the bed, under the side, and there's a closet, and there were shelves. So I like took everything out of my bag and stuff. And you can have more space if you pull out the little seating areas that are tucked away. So I actually
Open up.
Yeah. And we were in a room that could have slept five. I think with five people, it'd be a little tight maneuvering around with like suitcases and stuff like that, especially if you're somebody coming in from out of town and maybe you're staying for a week and this is the two parts and you had to bring all your stuff with you. That's the part where I think it's going to be a little tricky with this. But my guess is you can probably check stuff that you're not going to need in the room. So I would pack like a separate little Star Wars couple of days suitcase or something like that. But in terms of like space and everything like that, I thought it was fine.
Cool. What'd you think of the room?
The room is fine. The one thing that kind of bothered me, like I said, when I was having the migraine, when you close the viewport, it has to go beep, beep, beep. And it does like four or five beeps. And it's like, oh, that was unnecessary. I don't need the beeps, but I can move past that. So as far as the good and the bad, I want to talk about the experiences that I had, because that's the biggest part of the Star Cruiser, is like the story you're playing. And one of the major things that everybody does, well, there's two things, the lightsaber training and the bridge training. Both were awesome. Both were so much fun, and I loved how the experience went. It was a blast. But what I will say is our lane in lightsaber training broke halfway through. And the blaster was just shooting down to the ground, to the left, the whole rest of the time. Mm. And it was never – like there was – it seemed like there was nothing you could do to fix it. So that was kind of like – that kind of took you out of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of took you out of it. But with that being said, the actor that took – that was doing lightsaber training was amazing, and the experience itself was really fun. Bridge training was incredible. That was probably my favorite event, playing event. And I will say that the engineering room event was a little tedious. I know there's lots of different jobs you can do in the engineering room. The one that I did was the one inside that center pylon, and it's just a bunch of white buttons, and I have to just run around and press them as they light up. And it's like 10 minutes of that. And I was just, okay, it wasn't very entertaining, that part. Okay. The highlight for me is without a doubt the music. Well, entertainment in general.
Okay.
But specifically the music. I loved the music, and then the food. If I was to just pick one specific occurrence, dinner night one was incredible. I would pay, and I don't want to give Disney any ideas, I would pay $150, $200 a head to just go have that dinner experience in itself. I would go often.
With Gaia.
With Gaia,
the whole show,
the whole show, okay. The whole performance, all the music, the drama, and the food.
Mm.
It was all out of this world. The appetizers hit the table. You'll see it in our dining show that's already up. It went up last Friday on the Disney Dining Channel. We had our appetizers. We're like, I don't know if it gets much better than this.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then the entrees came, and they do not skimp you at all. Oh, my goodness. You got the bantha beef, basically a filet. And then you got the tip yip chicken, you got the stewed shrimp and the lobster sauce, you got the vegetarian option, and you got, well, those were the best things. There was something else too, I can't remember off the top of my head, but everything was just so insanely good. Like if it was an actual dining review, and it was like this was a standalone restaurant that was not like something with this big, you know, this big price tag to gain access to, and like you could just go here anytime if you got a reservation, I would say this was the best restaurant on property, hands down, bar none. That night one dinner, show and food, just I cannot speak high enough about it. Night two was good too. It was pretty good.
Sure.
It didn't hold up to night one though.
It ends a bit abruptly.
Yeah, it does. And it ended, we had the last dinner of the night too. So like Craig kind of gave us the down low of how that would go, that we kind of had to run. Like we had to record dessert separately before we left the whole experience later on, because we were just able to B-roll the dessert, take a bite, and then book it, because right after that is when the big major thing was going
to
happen.
Well, and it's since you mentioned that you had to run, we found ourselves doing the same thing. Just sprinting up the stairs, because you just don't want to miss anything. And whenever you step out of the atrium, you take the risk of missing something. And I see that the question, as far as accessibility is concerned, is being asked in the chat right now. And I've been asked that question elsewhere as well. And it is a super valid point. So there are storylines that pop up throughout your stay. And before you know it, there's a group sprinting down the steps and there's a character and they're off doing some side mission. And you'd like to be a part of that. I mean, wouldn't everybody? So that you know, if you are in a scooter, if you have mobility challenges at all, there are elevators right there, two elevators centrally located in the Halcyon. But you have to understand that sometimes you might wait, and that's some of the, you know, not to review it, but that's some of the thing to keep in mind. Yeah. You might miss some of the story by the time you make it down in your elevator. That being said, elevators are there. Things are accessible. And some of, like, we had a story that even popped up and utilized one of the elevators. So, and I've heard of someone else having a story with one of the elevators. So yes, even if you are, you know, you have mobility concerns, there are ways that you can still be a part of all the stories. It is, you know, you might have to go quickly and you might have to wait a little bit because everybody has to move quickly at the same time during a couple occasions, but.
Right. And the only thing I would add really is, I mean, it is pretty front and center what this experience is. It is a live action role playing experience. It's what it's intended for. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like I said, I entered this being like, how are they going to justify the price? And I left being like, oh, that's how.
Mm.
But because, I mean, if you really break it down, like Rhino mentioned, if you split this room, if you split this day with four other adults, it really breaks down to a room at the Poly with show, with food included. Okay. But, big but, it is not a relaxing vacation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a relaxing vacation. And if your intention is to go there and just have a relaxing vacation, you can try to do it, but I don't think you're going to succeed. If you're going to do this, I would urge you, play, like become part of the story. That is what this is meant to do. And I honestly, like, there were times where, you know, I went in being like, I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I honestly felt bad. I felt bad that there were people with such fleshed out characters and I couldn't, like, I would try to stay in character, but I had like maybe 10 minutes in me of Obi-Wan Kenobi dialogue. And then I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm Fiasco from Orlando.
I also don't think they accepted you as Obi-Wan Kenobi because I think the whole idea is that you are now in the Star Wars universe. So you can't actually be somebody that already exists, that's but they right. don't say that directly. They basically are like, come dressed as any character that you love. Exactly. My friend Tracy in the chat here, Mickey's my spirit animal. She mm-hmm. was dressed like, Lando the whole time, but her story was that she was like a cousin or something
oh,
like
I
this.
I love so that, Tracy.
She's cute. Yeah, that's she is great. Yeah, she looked great too in her costumes, but yeah, so that's the part too where it's a little tricky because like those characters exist in terms of potentially being referenced at some point.
Right.
So like you, can be them, but it feels like a weird. It feels like identity theft.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we need to wrap it up. What is one other nugget? Because you've seen Rhino.
I didn't talk about the Sublight Lounge, so I'd like to talk about that really quick if we can. I have a video coming out of all the stuff in there, but the Sublight Lounge. You don't have to be in the lounge if you don't want, because at a certain time during the day they'll come out and take drink orders. And it's not the snacks and stuff that you're getting in there; those are included, so you're not mm-hmm. paying any extra for those. So you can literally sit in the atrium and order all the snacks out of there, but for only a certain amount of time of the day. I think it was like around 4 or 5, and then it only goes to like, I don't think it goes till the closing of the bar, but it might go to like 2 hours before or something like that. But anyway, Rando Lando, that's what she said she was. Mm-hmm. They had, I want to say there was probably like 4 or 5 different snacks in there that were all like, I tried every single one. And I honestly enjoyed every single one. And the one that took me by surprise was the fish cannoli is what I keep calling it because I was like, ooh, I don't know. Did you try it?
Wait, was that a review, Craig?
Yes,
wait, just a second.
I'm not officially
there,
allowed to review the integrity of this program is done for.
I literally forgot this was rolling.
I ordered it twice.
Fish cannoli.
Yeah,
just
fish
leave it at
cannoli,
that.
Baby. But Ooh. there was vegan options in there as well, because there was these like meatballs that were like good. They had a little bit of a spice to them that I really enjoyed. There was a bar mix. There was like this like cheese with the smoke thing that they do. They had a little pizza in there that was delicious. There was these they're not fried green beans. They were freeze dried yes. green beans that I like a good crunchy food. And then the Mustafarian kettle cooked chips were really good as well. So I liked all the snacks. And I did have a couple of drinks in there. Like in the beginning when we first got on the ship, I had, because I knew I wanted there's two collectible glasses that you can get. There's a Mustafarian one and the other one is like a Dagobah Vimlet. So it's a vodka gimlet, which was surprisingly very good. And it looks just like the glass, the Chandra Starline glass, that's like the bulb on top and then a gold staff like underneath of it. It's larger and the glass is thicker than the one that you get in the gift shop. And that one, the one in the gift shop is $25 And the one in the lounge, I think with the drink, was like $32. Also, if you are ordering anything extra that costs money, just so you know, 18% gratuity is included in the bill. So you'll get a bill like that. I always try to make sure to at least get it up to 20. So I was like tipping more on top of that, but just because everybody was phenomenal. But I thought it was going to be boring. I had the Pod Chaser Old Fashioned because it came recommended from somebody. And it was actually one of the best old fashions I've ever had. So that was really good. I actually didn't like the one that Craig asked me to get, which was the Bespin Cloud one.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you for another one. Did you get the one that had the metal cube in it? The metal sphere? Yeah.
That's the Pod Chaser, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because when I got it, they apparently did not have any more of those, so they just gave it to me in a glass regularly with ice. And
the whole thing was because the water never gets into the liquor, so I that's hope part
that,
of it.
Like, I hope you got that B-roll for me.
I know I have a picture of it. I mean, I took a... Well, we don't get reimbursed on our alcohol, so it's hard. For me, that's out of my freaking pocket. So I'm positive. I videoed every single thing I did. So, I had that. I had the blue one that had the sugar thing in it too. That one.
Icebreaker.
The what?
Hoth Icebreaker.
Hoth Icebreaker. Yeah. That one was actually pretty interesting. I thought what was really, I don't know, they like hid the ice in it somehow. Cause I was just like, how is it so cold the whole time? So I really liked that one. The Bespin Cloud Fizz, I think if you like sweet drinks, it's for you. I loved the foam they did on top cause they did this like canister foam. They did a lot with canister foams that, you know, the Starbucks metal ones that you put the CO2 thing in that I've got one saved in my Amazon in cart now because I was like, I'm doing this for drinks. I don't non-alcoholic, alcoholic, whatever. I was like anything, you know, in the morning with your coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I'd like to put the foam on somebody's like, so yeah, I thought it was all good. I think it's worth going up there and checking out. I'll also say because it's such a limited capacity, one time I went in there, there was still a seat at the bar. So I just walked up and sat down at the bar. And then the next night when I went up there, it was like only half full and stuff like that. Yeah. So it wasn't crowded. It wasn't like a ruckus, but the bartender Crystal, phenomenal, wonderful lady. And the service was just fantastic. Plus the sabacc tables in there. So it's really, I think that is a must do, even if you're not a drinker, because there were two or three non-alcoholic drinks that were on the menu. And they did something that I didn't know. Somebody told me about later. They do a mixing class. You can go up and do it. And I'm like, so that's something I missed out on. I would have liked to have tried.
Me too.
I feel like there's so much more to talk about. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a good thing you have two reviews coming out this week, taking you through the days, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I do have a video of the lounge as well, so look forward to that. That has all the snacks and the one of the drinks I had in there. And then tomorrow is going to be the part one review, which is just day one beginning to end. It is an hour and 20 minutes long. I am so sorry. And I actually think part two is going to end up being even
longer. It's all good. You're trying to show people really what it's all about.
Well, I tried to chop the shows up to make it just highlights of everything. Yeah. So, and then the in-between, but everything was like so long that it's like, it adds up real quick, but
it's all good. Fiasco, final thoughts.
My final tidbit of help is merchandise. When you show up on day one, the line got crazy. Mm. Don't even worry about it. They know how many people are coming on the Star Cruiser. They know how much merchandise they need. So don't rush to merch right away. And as well, once you finally do get to the store and check it out, see what you want to buy, just know that on that final day when y'all are leaving, the store will not only not be open, so you won't be able to get access to that merchandise ship that you've been seeing around the ship. So don't wait till the last day to go shopping. Mm-hmm. But also on your way out, there'll be an entirely new wall of merchandise at that exit on your way out. That is all the Star Wars branded stuff. So t-shirts, hats, lanyards, pins that actually say Star Wars on it. While what you find up in the actual atrium store, that's going to be all things that don't say Star Wars on it.
It's the in-universe merchandise.
Correct.
And then the outside looking at the quote-unquote attraction.
Perfect.
Merchandise. So yeah, that was fun to see. I think we are good. There are a million other questions that I'm sure that you have.
And Patreon could, after show, we'll probably talk about it a little bit more.
There you go. And please watch the videos. And if you're curious about the merchandise, Rhino's got a Shopping with Rhino merchandise video. Craig's got a merch video where he's just looking around the store. Like, there are 492 amazing videos at least available right now on the Diz channel. So check them out. Fiasco's reviews, Fiasco and Rhino at the table eating all that food. So definitely tune in and get your Star Cruiser content. All of it that you want. So just a reminder, the Patreon after show is getting ready to start. Just as soon as we're done here, we will be having a very special friend along for the ride. Skyping in from Alani, Pete will join us. And you can check that out. You can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/DizUnplugged. I think that's it. Anything else? All right. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you so greatly, and take good care. Bye.